Greetings again, my friend. Welcome to the podcast, Teaching That Transforms with Pastor Jimmy Knott. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm doing a series of podcasts, as you know, if you've been a regular listener, on my newest book, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. That book's available on Amazon, and I sure hope that you'll get it. It's available in paperback and also in digital form. I sure hope that you'll purchase it, and when you finish reading it, you'd be willing to go to Amazon and write a review for me. I'd really appreciate it very much. This is the fifth podcast on my book. The first one I dealt with just some of the basics of prayer. What is prayer? Just conversation, talking, listening, interacting with God. And why prayer is important. And perhaps of the many reasons that I shared with you that prayer is important, most importantly is that conversation builds connection and communication with God and helps me to grow in my personal intimate relationship with my Heavenly Father. But for the last few weeks, we've been looking at a kind of a form of how can I have a plan? What's a good plan for me to have in my personal prayer time? And for years, I have used a very simple word, ACTS, A-C-T-S. A is for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. There's a flow, I think, to prayer, and that word, that acronym, helps us to understand what that looks like. Prayer flows from adoration, adoring and praising God for His worth, for who He is, then into confession, once entering into His presence through adoration and through praise, I get a greater sense and awareness of my own fallenness and shortcomings before Him, and I specifically confess my sins to Him and thank Him for His forgiveness, which flows into that T, which is thanksgiving. I'm at the greatest need you and I have is for forgiveness of sin, and because of who Jesus was and what Jesus did, we can enjoy that forgiveness of sins. In adoration, we thank God for who He is. In thanksgiving, we thank God for all that He has done. Now we come to the S, the final aspect in this personal prayer time, and that's supplication. In supplication, we ask. To supplicate simply means to ask. We ask, and we ask God to meet the needs of others. That's intercession. And then we ask God to meet our own needs. That's petition. I am amazed at the number of times in Scripture, especially in the recorded words of Jesus in the Gospels, and even in the Gospel of John and in 1 John, how often Scripture, but especially Jesus, tells us to ask the Heavenly Father to pray. One of the good examples of that is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? Then over in John chapter 14, in verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that means according to his will, aligning with his purpose, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then in John 15, that great chapter on abiding in Jesus, in verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. And then in John 15, a little further along in verse 16, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Again, all of that assuming it's in accordance with the Father's will for our lives. So more than 10 times does Scripture tell us, especially in the Gospels, to ask. So that's what we're going to do today. First, we're going to cover intercession, and that's asking for others. I think praying for the needs of others is one of the highest privileges and one of the most important responsibilities given to us as believers. We can't all get up in front of folks and teach or preach or lead a Bible study. We can't all lead in worship either through playing an instrument or through singing, but we can all pray for others. We can all intercede for others. Let me ask you, can you think of a person or two in your spiritual journey who intercedes for you? someone who regularly, based on, you know, their timetable, who regularly calls your name to God in prayer and asking Him to meet the needs that exist in your life? Anybody asking you, how can I pray for you? Oh, y'all, that's so very important. I have a number of people who regularly stop me and tell me, Jimmy, I'm praying for you. How can I specifically pray? It's just so important for us to have people in our lives to know that we're not alone in the journey and in the battle in the journey at times, that there are people who love us and who know us and who care for us and who are lifting our name to God and asking Him to for our needs on our behalf. So several key elements related to this element of supplication called intercession. First is what I call the plea for intercession. This is on page 41 in chapter 6. We are encouraged to intercede. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1, "First of all, then, I urge you that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people." Pray for all people. And then in James 5, verse 16, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." Scripture over and again tells us that we need to be praying for others. And what better examples than Jesus and Paul? Jesus prayed for others. I'm reminded of when He told Peter, "Peter, the enemy, Satan has sought to get at you, to sift you, but I have prayed for you that you would not fall." Jesus prays for Peter, specifically praying for him not to fall and not to waver in his journey with the Lord. And then I'm reminded of John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, where Jesus offers up one of the high, what's called one of the high priestly prayers. And it's a very interesting chapter in that the opening part of the chapter, He prays for His immediate disciples that are there with Him on the journey as recorded in the Gospels. And then He moves into praying for future disciples, which would include believers and followers of Christ like you and me, as He prays for us. And then if you're familiar with what the Bible teaches about the life of Jesus, after Jesus came and lived and died and was resurrected, Scripture teaches He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And you know what He's doing right now? He's interceding for us. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 7:25, "Consequently, He, Jesus, is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for us." He is interceding for us right now with the Heavenly Father. Then I think of the great Apostle Paul. Paul, who wrote so many of the letters in the New Testament to individuals, sometimes to church leaders like Timothy and Titus, but many of those are addressed to churches that were read in the churches. And many of those letters, I'm thinking of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and Timothy and others, Paul begins the letter after some words of salutation with intercessory prayer for the people of the church, many of whom that he knew personally. So clearly, Scripture is expecting us to pray and to intercede for one another and for the needs that exist in our lives. A second element about intercession has to do with what I call the content of intercession, and that is, what do we pray for on behalf of other people? Well, I'll be honest, most of the time when I pray for others, it has to do with either physical needs in their life and blessings they need in a physical realm, maybe their illness issues, maybe their other health issues, and to pray for healing. Sometimes it's for material issues that are going on in the life. Maybe it's a financial area. Maybe it's in a housing area or in a transportation area or perhaps in a vocational or in a work area. And I look into my journey. I've spent most of my time when I've interceded for others and praying for either material or for physical blessings. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But it's interesting when you look at the intercessory prayers that are offered in Scripture when someone is praying for someone else, they're almost always focused and concentrated on spiritual blessings to pray for in that other person's behalf. And in the book, on pages 42, 43, and again later in the book, in pages 102 to 106, I make a list of some of the spiritual blessings that we could pray for as we intercede for others, for them to have inner spiritual strength, for them to have divine power, to enjoy supernatural wisdom, to have a thankful heart, to grow in their knowledge of God, to have abounding love for others, to be an effective witness for Christ, for God to provide the daily provision of their needs, like He taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, to pray for them to find contentment in their circumstances, to pray for them to have peace and joy and maybe other elements of the fruit of the Spirit. So I tell you, I'm working on my intercessory prayer life to pray a little bit more along the line of spiritual blessings for others. Next, what's the pattern of intercession? How do we go about really interceding for others? Just a few tips here that I found to be helpful. One is try to identify with them. Try to identify with them in their needs, whether they are spiritual needs or physical needs or material. Try to empathize. That'll raise and elevate the burden of prayer. Pray for God's will to be done. There's no higher good in your life and my life and for the life of someone else is to pray for them to know and to do the will of God. Another thing that's important in intercessory prayer and how to do it, I think we need to be willing to be part of the answer. You know, when people have needs, we don't need to pray about those needs if you and I have the wherewithal to meet those needs. There is a definite connection between faith and works. Faith has such an important role in prayer, so we got to be willing when we pray to be part of the answer. I think a final element here in the pattern of intercession has to do with the willingness to persevere, to be disciplined, to intercede with some continuity. This is not really about begging. I think it's showing burden. I even think sometimes fasting for yourself and for others increases that burden when we take the time that we normally take the time perhaps to prepare or to go to a meal or to enjoy a meal, to use that time to intercede for others. Those are some, I think, very helpful tips that I have discovered in the pattern of intercession. And then lastly, let's look at the people of intercession. And by that I mean, who do we specifically pray for? And it's very interesting that we are laid out in Scripture are specific individuals that the writer of Scriptures tell us to be sure to pray for. It doesn't tell us how often to pray for them, but it does tell us that we need to be praying for certain people in our journey. First of all, let me read from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all men. So it's saying pray for everyone. Then he gets specific. For kings and all those in high positions, that they may that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, godly and respectful in every way. This is good and it is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So I think he's telling us that we need to pray for all the men and women who are in positions of authority, no matter what, as it were, political party they're a part of, or if they're independent, or the direction, or even the issues that they support, we might not support. Scripture just simply tells them, because God ordained government, that we should pray for those who are in authority. That would be governmental figures, local, state, and national, and perhaps even worldwide. I think we would include in that those that are first responders and our firefighters, and then in our sheriff and county, and then local police departments and others that are in places of authority. We are called to pray for them for their safety. Praying for the lost. Let me read on in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. We need to pray for people to come to Christ. Paul had a tremendous burden for his fellow Jews, so much so that he said, I would be willing to lose my salvation as if he could in order for the people that I know and love who are Jewish, who have not yet trusted the Messiah, my Savior and Lord, for them to come into a personal relationship with him. So I really encourage you to think of one or two people that are in your circle of relationships, could be family, could be friends, could be co-workers that, as far as you know, don't have a personal relationship with Christ. Pray for them to see their need and to come into a relationship with Him. And if He can use you to be the voice to do that, be available to do that. Next, Scripture tells us to pray for our enemies. You know what? When we get into tension and relationship with people, especially when people almost become enemies in our life, Jesus specifically tells us to pray for our enemies. And one of the things that I've discovered when I've got friction in a relationship, especially if it's really large and intense, which we really shouldn't have, it's hard to be enemies with someone that you pray for on a regular basis. So we need to pray for our enemies. Next, we need to pray for laborers. Jesus said, pray for the Lord to send laborers into the harvest. We live in a world of need for a Savior. And we're to pray for God to call out men and women who are faithful in their education, to be faithful in the marketplace work, who will be faithful to respond to the call to become missionaries, local and national and international, to represent Him and to be His voice, to raise up laborers in the lives of the local church to serve His people. Another area to be prayed for is pray for church leaders. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verses 17 to 19, we need to pray for church leaders. I know it means a lot to me that I'm prayed for, that my family members are prayed for. Prayed for me to have wisdom to make lots of decisions, and especially pray for my family. I've just discovered in my own journey and looking at the lives of other church leaders that many times if the enemy can't get to us individually as the church leader, then they'll begin to attack our spouses and begin to attack our families. And when he does that, it gets us so distracted from what God has called us to be and to do. So it's important. I know it means so much to me to know that people like you are calling my name to God in prayer. Next, pray for those that are in bondage to the enemy. The enemy is on the prowl. He is looking for people, especially believers, to harass and to intimidate and to enslave them. We're going to talk about that more next week as we look in the next chapter on spiritual warfare praying. But it's important to know how to pray for people that may be in bondage to the enemy. And then a couple more, pray for the sick and afflicted and for those who are wandering away from the truth of Scripture. James talked about this in James 5, verses 13 to 20, and we need to pray. And I think we find this relatively easy to pray for people who have health issues or emotional or psychological issues. And then last, just generally, Paul said, pray for all of the saints. Pray for all of the saints. Obviously, now we extend our intercessory prayer time to family and to friends and to co-workers as well. So supplication, I think it begins with intercession, where you and I ask God on behalf of others. And then the last part of supplication has to do with petitioning, asking God to meet our own needs. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory." I think God wants us to ask for ourselves. I don't think there's anything necessarily selfish about that. So let's spend the last part of today's podcast talking about petition. First of all, let's look at the importance or the priority of petition. When you and I ask for ourselves, I think it immediately puts you and me in a posture of brokenness, of humility, and of dependence, where we're basically saying to God, "God, I can't. This is beyond me and what I can do, but I know You can," and asking Him to come alongside and to help. And we're so encouraged to ask. I began today's podcast with that over and over again. We're told to ask, and most of those ask are petitionary in the sense of petitioning and asking for ourselves. So praying for yourself is a good thing to do. Next, let me talk about some principles in that petition as we pray for ourselves. There are a few. First is simple. Just keep it simple. You don't need fancy words. Just tell God that what you need as if He doesn't know it already. Nothing is too small. Make sure your prayer is sincere. We can't fool God. He knows our hearts. His will has always got to take priority over any of our wants or even our needs in submitting to Him. I would encourage you to be specific. If you just pray for God to generally bless your life, man, how are we going to know when He does that? It's so vague. So be specific in how we ask God to bless our lives. Next, make sure that the petition you're offering is got a pure motive and there's nothing selfish necessarily about it. Just keeping it pure. And then last, I just think there's a place, again, for a role of fasting and prayer where we persevere, obviously never demanding of God, simply asking Him and then entrusting and submitting to His will, whatever it may be. And then the last thing in praying for ourselves, what do we pray for? Well, this is very similar to how we intercede for others. I think we first and foremost pray for God to provide us with spiritual blessings, for wisdom, for others that I've listed in the book and I shared with you a few moments ago. Maybe the most important thing is to pray to find His will and to be willing to surrender our lives to it. And then it's certainly okay to pray for material blessings in our lives, for food, for clothing, for shelter, and other needs that we might have. And then for our physical needs and the blessings that we need there to enjoy, health in our journey here on earth. Supplication pleases God. Both intercession and petition bring Him great pleasure. So I'm going to ask you this week, acts. Adore God for a few minutes. Then be willing to confess your sins. Then thank Him for at least one blessing of some kind. And then close in supplication, interceding for people by name and then praying for yourself. Hopefully today's teaching will help you in your personal journey and in my personal journey as we develop our closer, more intimate, personal prayer time with the Lord. Remember again, my book is available on Amazon. I hope you get it. Thanks for listening to Truth That Transforms. Remember, truth only transforms when we apply it. Blessings from Pastor Jimmy. I'll see you next time.